Praise God. Amen. So, y'all doing good? Yes, you are. I know you are in covenant wise. And that's so good to be on the rock of Jesus. And he's the rock, we're not. I mean, we're on the rock and we're an extension of him as the body of Christ, but we're on the rock, you know? Amen. And that's a good place to be, no matter what's going on, anything that life throws at us or our generation or our time. We're going to heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, you know, pretty good situation there. Amen. It really is. It's interesting how God's truth, God's word, bypasses all of man's abilities and his efforts and all. And we learn about it through public school or your education that we go by, you know, which is all good. I believe education is a good thing in its place, but it is man's education. You know, we're awesome, man. We did this. The great accomplishments, the great man who invented this or did that, or woman who did, you know. But what matters is right here as far as history goes. Amen. Jesus even said it in a perspective like that. He said, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. That was a big deal. A perspective that is the truth. You don't have to be a scholar or be able to argue with different challenges to trains of thought and belief that we have from God's word. I'm just keeping it real broad. You know what I mean? Just at the very bottom, it's Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so, and we believe who he was, who he was, said he was. Amen. It's a good place to be. And in the earth now is the Holy Spirit, in a unique way, interacting with mankind. And because he's perfect, but because we're imperfect, it seems to be an imperfect process. Man is always trying to go, okay, well, we got him. We got God here. He's right here. If you do it this way, you're in. If you light this candle, you get baptized this particular way, these certain words are said over you, you're in. I'm not, Kathy's leaving me like, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious in any way, but religion doesn't save us. There was a man who walked this earth who is from the Father, the creator of everything. He's here and he's walking around and he was saying stuff. And it behooved them to write it down. They did. Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was good. And the book of Revelation and all in between of the New Testament. But he isn't here in that form. And he said he was. It wasn't going to be. Who is the Holy Spirit? Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is doing things all of the time. And there's a song that's, I don't know if it's new or not. I'll hear a song and I'll go, man, new song. Turns out it's 10 years old. You know, I'm talking about in worship and all. But this song makes a reference to that of the... just the knowledge of God that I can't remember right now. Evidently, it's not important. So, no, but just, this is why I'm not made for television. You know that, guys. We all know. We're all in on that. But the Holy Spirit's teaching. Oh, you have these encounters with God. You know, the first line of the song is what I was thinking about. It says something along the lines of, I want to have more encounters with you. I remember... I'm drawing a blank on the song. But it's those moments. I don't want to leave those moments in your presence. And they are unique. We know by covenant, we go out of this door as empowered believers and Christians, but you just don't want to leave. Wednesday night, man, the presence of God was here in a unique way. And some folks from different churches were here. And we were all just, man, we don't want to go. And I was telling Tori and at the house that that's one thing that's tough about being in the ministry, being the pastor, especially because every week and all, is I have to be the guy. It's kind of like, well, okay, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say like a bar where they say closing time, but that's bad reference. That was my old days. Okay. But we're drinking the Holy Ghost. Really, we are. It's you're drinking it in, and somebody's got to go say, hey, if you want to go, you can. But, you know, it's kind of the end, you know, right for this. And I've said it before. I've told you guys sometimes, not every time, but sometimes when everybody leaves, I'm just wrapping things up here, and I'll just come lay down and just go, oh, God, you know. And those presence, that's a good thing. Be affirmed in that position. You, when that happens, and it should happen every time in church, I believe it does. We have that right, and he does. He shows up. Amen. You go from glory to glory, from by faith. Amen. Here a little, there a little. It's these encounters with God that we have the right to always be up there, but we aren't, and it's not God's fault. But what we do get in those moments, you hold on to. Amen? That's what the book came from. This was written by holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so is the New Testament. They were new to them at that time, but it's 2,000 years for us. So they're now in that category of holy men of old, moved by the Holy Ghost. But the Spirit of God is moving, and that's what we're doing here. Amen? I like saying stuff like that to, again, affirm and have clarity of what is going on. And you know it, and you know. This isn't rocket science. If something pulls your eyes off of your revelation, and all of our revelation is the same. It's the same person, Jesus. He's just talking to us about where we're all at individually. Amen? But something is new and comes in, you have to check to see, okay, is this a God thing or not? Is this God bringing my attention into another subject? I had that experience with the subject of grace, with a Joseph Prince ministry and other ministries that are kind of coming to the forefront in the last 10, 20 years. And I knew also a lot of people I respected had a problem with this message of grace. And so I checked it out. I want to check it out. I got some of Joseph Prince's books, and I also read online. I'm not preaching on Joseph Prince here. What I'm saying is a new revelation that's new to me is here. It seems like it's having impact in the body of Christ. Some are saying this. A lot of people are very positive about it. But I look, and it's good. I read the books. You know what I'm saying? And every book, you might see some of the emphasis that might not, you put it on the shelf because you don't understand a detail, but there's very, very little of that I see in Joseph Prince's writings, in his sermons. Very, very little. But you have to eat the hay and spit out the sticks with everybody. You guys have to do that with me. Don't just quote me to the Lord, because you, you know, you want it to be that that experience. So a new thing comes to you that's not, you look into the word and you check it out, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That's, we call it apples to apples, oranges to oranges, right? And so you can't judge that about a feeling or who makes you feel like, oh, that's probably wrong. Well, you know, caution's good, but compare spiritual things and then embrace truth, another high place, another glory to move on this subject of grace as revealed by the Holy Spirit in a fresh way to the body of Christ of our generation. I believe it's an emphasis to the body of Christ. And just because people abuse truth, you shouldn't refuse truth. I came into the body of Christ in the 80s during the Word of Faith movement. And for a while there, it was very popular. Cover of Charisma Magazine, Brother Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and all this. And then not so much, you know. And there were a lot of people against this. But there's always those. Have you seen that online? These websites, man, they're just not edifying. I'm not going to put up a website unless, I got to be careful. Because we do need to challenge false doctrine. That's for sure. But challenge false doctrine. Amen? The word. Use the word. The word is what's going to pierce and divide. It's the only thing. It's the sharpest two-edged sword out there. And that's how you judge doctrine. Amen? But with the word of God. And you eat the hay and spit out the sticks. There's people that have been shipwrecked in the faith, famous, Christian scientists that are not Christian by the faith as we know it. The Apostles' Creed, they say, but it's Romans 10:9. You know, Jesus is it. It's Jesus or you're not Christian. You can say you are and believe, you know. But they, the founder of that movement started as a really prominent teacher and a biblical teacher and just got off and kept getting weirder and weirder with new revelations from God that started superseding the Word of God. That's the line. When they start writing books and saying it's God talking. There are followers of William Branham. You guys might know who that was, but he was one of the biggest during the healing revival days in the 40s and 50s. And they're still alive now. There's foundations that treat his writings as scripture. And his books, I imagine, I haven't read any, but I imagine they're pretty good, but it's not scripture. It enlightens. That's what the Word of God does. Building upon the foundations of the prophets and apostles and prophets, right? Amen? Having our perspective correct. And knowing who's doing the teaching here and recognize those moments and receive not just a goosebump, which I love to feel the presence of God. I do. I've been drunk in the Holy Spirit where I'm just lightheaded. And I've been drunk in the world before. I've been high in the world before. I know, but this is so much better. And I'm not just saying in a religious sense like it's the right thing. No, it's better. There's no high like the Most High. It really is. That's really, you know, I'm not going all John Denver on you, you know. Rocky Mountain High in Colorado, wherever that is. You know, it's really, man, he now all these John Denver songs are in my head. You fill up my... I know. God bless y'all. Amen. I do believe that the Lord is emphasizing that to us this morning. Amen. And to reset our sail. Praise God. You're on course. You're hearing God. And he's talking to you. Amen. This series I'm about to start. I'm starting a series this morning on about Rahab the harlot. And that God just dropped this into me. And this is the way... direction from the Lord seems to come. It seems this way to me. And when I say seems, I mean it that way. You judge this and you hear my testimony and go, hopefully it recognizes or touches an experience that you've been having to go, okay, you know, and that is this. My encounters with the Lord and direction of my life have been a picture. When Kathy and I got married, I was working a construction job. She was working at a bank, and we're serving our local church, being good troopers. You know, I had an AA degree. Kathy had 3/4 of an AA degree, but that wasn't, we just, God, whatever you want. And I'd been in the ministry doing youth and just whatever I needed, you know, and all, but, and our local church that was really exploding, I was still considered on staff. I'd go to the staff meetings, but I didn't have a position. Just jumping in there. And that's love, isn't it? That the pastor didn't just kick me out or make me feel weird. I'm just saying, you were in transition, we were newlyweds. And I remember I was in a staff meeting, it was about to get started, and I looked around the room. I don't think Kathy was, you weren't there at those. And I just had love in my heart for everybody. You know how it is, and you look around the church, you go, man, everybody's so cool. I love everybody. I love, you know, everybody's so cool, you know. In God, it's just so true. And on that, when I had that, I said, Lord, where is my place? And boom, in my spirit, right away, I saw that we're supposed to go to Rhema Bible Training Center at the time. That's what its name was. Kathy and I were. We were supposed to come home in between the first and second year. It was a two-year program. And then when we finish the program, to come back to that church and offer our services. Okay? Just boom, I saw the next 2 years. I also knew I was supposed to usher at Rhema. Isn't that weird? Just jump in there, usher. long story short, we did that. First, I tell my wife, because she's the authority in my life too. And I say, and my, you guys know me, I choose the worst time. You know, we're on the beach, Panama City Beach, two Diet Pepsis, ice cold with a little cooler there. We're sitting there, soaking in the rays. I said, honey, I feel like God's telling us to go to Rhema. Kathy's never, the furthest west she's ever been in her life was Tennessee on a trip. I'd been from Japan to Germany in the military. Moving was, I loved it, man. Let's go. That's freaking her out. I want to take you 19 hours away from your mom and your dad. She immediately answered me firmly, no. But I still had this, what I thought was a word, but if she, I'm not dragging her, and that's not right. Can I get an amen from the guys? That's not right. You gotta, and everybody, go by the, I think your kids are authority in your life to see how it gels with them when God's giving you direction. There's a time you gotta be the parent and say, no, we're doing this, we have to. But you know what I mean? It's the information from God is yes and amen. It's easily entreated, it's good. And I still had that velvety feeling and all with that, but it matters. The other biblical part is I can have a visitation, but if it's not agreeing with any authority in my life, it's going on the shelf, man, right? So I did. I put it on the shelf, and we went to, we asked the pastors out, the pastor and his wife, but they're pastors. We went to Pizza Hut, didn't we? And we're sitting there, and I said about going to Bible school. It was on my heart, but it wasn't really bearing witness with Kathy, and I just want to let you guys know. The pastor, the first thing out of his mouth was, we will pay your tuition for both years and give you a job in between the first and second year, and we'll give you a job when you come back. And he was true to his word.
And I said, I feel
left-go. Really, it bore witness with her. I call Kathy Mouse for a reason, because... You know, I'm Mr. Let's do it. I want her to go, yeah. And that's not Kathy's personality at all. This, wait a second. Let's think about this. And it's been very good for me. That's God's plan, isn't it? Amen. So I gave that as an example. It just was but all of that happened in that moment, in that meeting. And so it happened with this series. And so the will of God, it happens, can happen to you that way too. It's not always a long narrative, you know? It's just an impartation, a boom, and you see things. You just know stuff. Amen? I'm encouraging you. This is for you. You don't have to be a spiritual giant, but you do have to operate by the word of God. And that is, like I did, check it out with the authorities in your life, who you trust. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Your pearl is the wisdom from God, that you believe it's God, but it's not written in the book. It didn't say, Andrew and Kathy, go to Rhema and anywhere in here. Amen? But I'm talking about the will of God, how to know the will of God for your life and to do that. And so, amen? And so, praise God. That was a long introduction, wasn't it? No, it's good. God's word is good, y'all. He does this. He just imparts, and it's so clear. I'd like to say I study these things out and all, but many times there's just God wants to say stuff to you and to me. Amen? And that's what we're believing for. Praise God. Well, let me just touch on this. Today I'm just doing my intro to our series here about Rahab the harlot. You say, Pastor, you just said the word harlot in the pulpit. Is that ethical? Well, the Bible says it over and over again. This person, Rahab, was a harlot. And it's just amazing who she was and why this is significant. In Hebrews chapter 11, one of the most famous chapters in the subject of faith, of Bible faith, is Hebrews chapter 11, especially verse 1, everybody should know. Faith cometh by hearing. No, that's Romans 10, 17. Hebrews 11, 1 is faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's good to know. And remind yourself, remind the devil, remind the circumstances in you. I'm walking by faith, not by sight, like we were just singing. Amen? And then it goes on and gives examples of biblical characters, people in the Bible who walked by faith. And in that list, down in verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." So here, again, it mentions Rahab, but it throws in the harlot part. I feel sorry for Rahab sometimes. God, why do you keep calling her the harlot? Because she was. In James chapter 2, verse 25, James chapter 2, verse 25 says, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, had sent them out another way?" Okay? This is another reference to Rahab in the New Testament. "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." Evidently, her actions that we're going to study have a lot to do in the subject of faith. In Hebrews 11, I told you, she was one of the entries in the what they call the Great Hall of Faith of Hebrews chapter 11. So she did something right. She did something really right. Amen. But then in James chapter 2, it's in the middle of this teaching that the Holy Ghost is saying through James to the church that was getting really kind of top heavy with the subject of faith. Hear me now. I'm a faith preacher saying this, that pushing faith so much, it's like, I don't have to work. It's like Brother Hagin said that one time after a seminar on the Holy Ghost, and a man came up to him and says, "Brother Hagin, I'm so glad I don't have to pray anymore. I let the Holy Ghost do my praying for me." I know. And that's from Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that, you know, I shared about this Wednesday night, about that the Spirit of God takes hold with us and he prays for us, that he's making intercession for us. And this man stopped right there. Well, I don't have to pray anymore. And of course, that's not right. You have to take the counsel of the whole Word of God. Amen. And so in James, they were doing the faith thing that we can just do whatever we want because we're living by faith. Actions don't matter. I don't have to witness. I don't have to do positive things in the faith. And I probably can do some negative things because God forgives me. He loves me. The grace movement, the grace revelation has been accused of that. And yes, there are people that do that. But just because they do it doesn't mean God's not telling a truth. Because I keep coming back to the subject of grace, that you have grace by faith. Amen? And we have faith by the grace of God, really. It's to be free and to walk a holy life, to not be led by condemnation and shame, but to be led by the love of God and conviction. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction precedes sin. It's going, you cannot. You're empowered not to do that, even though you've done it all your life. You are empowered to do that. You've heard it in your ears that's what we do. Our family does this kind of behavior. The grace of God says that's not true. You can overcome. Amen? And if you blow it, the grace of God's there in your repenting, if you're just confessing it, and to grab hold of that grace again and hold on to that. Amen. It's kind of like water skiing. You know, you're about to go down. You can use that energy to keep you up. You know, the whole ride starts with, man, I can't water ski. I'm sunk in water and the skis are here. But you're holding a rope that's tied to something bigger and more powerful than you are. And it pulls you up and out of that. And you're going to fall sometimes, but that rope's coming back. Boom. Grab that thing. That's the grace of God. It's to produce holiness in your life, without which no man shall see the Lord or live in those glory places. Man, I'm preaching good, aren't I? Yes. Now, the truth is good. The truth of God is good. Amen. So she's used and referred to in the New Testament. Rahab the harlot is referred to in the Hall of Faith and in the correction of the abuse of faith, both sides. Isn't that cool? To live by faith and not by sight. But also, dang it, or praise the Lord, your faith has to have works. It's got to be, you got to be doing something. You got to be doing something. And that's your fruit. That's your fruit, what you do. and to be a judge of your fruit. And it's going to be a lifelong process. Amen. Praise God. That's good. So she is a big deal. But the third place that she's mentioned in the New Testament is Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 is laying out the genealogy of Joseph, Mary's husband, when Mary gave birth to Jesus. And she was underneath his covering and his obedience. Angels talked to Joseph about Jesus and about Mary in a very, very hostile environment that we can't even imagine in today's world. Not taboo as much as it was. We can't even imagine what it was like in that day to have a baby outside of wedlock. Now, their definition of wedlock might be a little different than what we have, some time periods in there and things, but still, that was going on. This young teenage girl, it's saying that that she's pregnant by the and it's a God thing, that she hasn't been with a man, and Joseph believes her. Why would he do that? Well, math looks at it and goes, well, no, she's lying. But if you know Mary, people can tell me stuff. Somebody can say something negative about Kathy. Again, okay, well, first, I'm trying not to hit you right now. But I know her. You know, there's a level of knowing. And evidently, this person, Mary, lived an incredible life that moved this man to keep the door open of faith, of believing that something bigger than him was happening. And he was doing that math. He said, I have to put her away, but I'm going to do it in a way that saves her dignity because I love her and there's something about her. And then he has a visitation of the angel and says, that thing's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I imagine he felt good because he loved her. And he also knew she was faithful to him. And she was faithful to a move of God. So Joseph is a big deal, you guys. I know he's not mentioned a whole lot in the Bible, in the New Testament, but just what he did in the coming of our Lord was just huge. Amen? And so in this lineage, in James chapter, I'm sorry, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it says, in the King James Version, it says, and Salmon begat, it says Booz here, but it's Boaz, of, it says Rachab, but it's Rahab, okay? And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, who was the father of David, okay? Rahab married the Jewish gentleman named Salmon, and they had Boaz, okay? Rahab married, she's not Jewish. Rahab is not Jewish. And she comes into the camp of the Israelis, and we're going to talk about that, the story. That'll be next week. But says that this guy, Salmon, he's in the Jewish camp. She marries him. They have a child. His name is Boaz. The book of Ruth tells the story of Ruth, who married a Jewish man also. But he died, and she has a choice now. Everything says that she should leave that family now because her husband's dead. And there was another girl who was not Christian, was not Jewish, and same situation with the same mother-in-law. And she kissed her mother-in-law, Naomi, and left. But Ruth stayed. It's a very famous, beautiful story. And she goes as a single woman now, a widow, and goes back home to the camp of the Israelis with Naomi. And it's a beautiful story of how she meets Boaz, who is a Jew and a wealthy man and a man with a lot of integrity, okay? Ruth and Boaz have a child named Obed, and he begat Jesse, okay? So then, as I said, Rahab married Jewish Salmon, and they had Boaz. He and Ruth had Obed, and of course, Obed had Jesse, and then Jesse produced David. Very famous, you know, the lineage of Jesus there. And Ruth, that is, she's another outsider like Rahab that we're going to be learning about. She was known, like her mother-in-law, Rahab, as a covenant woman. Okay? The story of Ruth meeting Boaz is a beautiful story of a person who's not in the lineage of Abraham, but she believes the word anyway. You've heard this phrase probably in your life. It's used in many weddings. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, it says, Ruth said, and she's talking to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and refusing to leave her, she says, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you. For, and here's the quote, for whither you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Have you heard that phrase before? What a beautiful phrase. But what words of covenant, of just reckless abandonment, of all the security of her family, wherever they are. She goes, no, I'm in. I've watched you. I've watched my husband who's passed and watched your family. And I believe you guys are your God is God. And I want him to be my God. Just beautiful, amen? So she's known for her covenant and her just locking in there. And that produced her meeting Boaz and them having a son who was a couple generations together. I guess her great-grandson would be David. Just amazing, okay? and Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, this is the women, Jewish women around Naomi, said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day without a kinsman. Both her sons were dead, but now she has another child. Isn't that just God, y'all? It looks hopeless, but love makes the difference. Praise God. That his name may be famous in Israel. Verse 15, and he shall be unto you a restorer of your life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, which loves you. Now the women are talking about Ruth, right? Listen to these words from these covenant people. Your daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Man, having a son was a big deal in these days. And she's lost her too. And now she has another one. And all the women go, Ruth is better than you having seven sons originally. Man, isn't that cool? She has borne him. In verse 16, it says, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Right? Listen to this, y'all. I get excited about this. You know what Obed means? It means server, a servant, a server. And he is the father of Jesse. You know what Jesse means? I didn't know this. It's the word extent. E-X-T-A-N-T. I had to look it up. It means a survivor. Basically a survivor. And he's the father of David. David's name means loving. The root of it is a lover or friend. I mean, knowing what we know of David and the Psalms and how passionate that man was. And he's in the lineage of Jesus, the house of David. Amen. So David was a lover and friend with a heart that serves and survives. Yeah. Man, that's pretty cool, isn't it? David was a lover and a friend with a heart, a heritage that serves and survives. And you look at his story, man, that really matches up. That he learned covenant from his the females and I'm sure the males in his lineage,
and to the point that he would not give up on Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill him. He would cry out to him with words of love, saying, God had delivered you in my hand, but I didn't take your life. And it would make Saul repent for a season. You know, just a man of passion. Folks, that's us. We are the body of Christ. Jesus was like that. His disciples would come to him and say, hey, have you eaten? And he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Wow, you know, just passionate. And you see that in the lives of the apostles and the disciples of the early church. And we see that in the book of Revelation and the warnings and affirmations to the seven churches, of which we are to look at those seven and learn from them of what to guard our own hearts against, of hardness of heart and different things. Amen. But one thing that was all it said to all those seven churches was, he that endures to the end will receive a crown, basically. He that endures, sticks it out, just survive. and being proactive as a servant. Praise God. Be encouraged. Amen. This woman that is referred to in the New Testament about the subject of faith is a roadmap for us. It really is. And whatever label you had before, and everybody has it, it may not be as aggressive. We're not going to go around and start calling people by their name and the worst of them before Christ. Let's not do that. We're not required to, but they did it to her, but I don't know. There's a reason. Don't ever forget what you came out of. Amen? And I'm going to confess, well, I do this often, you all know it, but I came out of stuff. I tell my story. It's part of my story of coming to Jesus. But as a 40-something year old Christian, I'm 59, but being a Christian, coming up on 40 years, if not already, I become more conscious of how far I have to go. And in some ways, it impacts me like almost worse, it can be, than the sins I committed before I was a Christian, in that, man, I should be further along. He deserves so much more from me. Now, I'm not talking about being led by condemnation and shame, but that's conviction to go, he deserves more. And I don't want to forget that. Amen? And don't forget where you came from, lest a worse thing come on you. Amen? That's what religion does. It goes, hey, I can start acting like I'm something now. And when you didn't earn it at all. We don't walk around talking about our sin. We talk about our Savior, though. And we don't talk about our religion. We talk about Jesus and the Spirit of God that's alive and letting him touch people through us. Amen? So we're all in the house of, or a lineage in a way, of Rahab the harlot. And she is in the lineage of our Savior. Isn't that amazing that God would have that? That here, the Jewish nation, and we're going to see in this story of Jericho and the coming down of it, and her key, Rahab's key part of that whole battlefield and the strategies and the move of God, and where she falls in that and where she ends up. We're going to look at that and see how it applies to our lives. It's going to be a beautiful ride. Amen. Praise God. So be encouraged in that. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, at the end of the lineage of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, where it said in verse 5 about Rahab, in verse 16 it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Woo! Come on, somebody. Amen. Verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. That's amazing. You know, Brother Tim Hines, Prophet Tim Hines, mentions numerology a lot, and I've teased him about it, you know. You know, there's 600,248. That's the number of... What are you talking about, man? Where do you get this stuff? But it's good. And that there is patterns there. There definitely is. And this, the Word of God, refers to that in this lineage. I'm just saying, you're here for such a time as this. You really are. And we are together. We are not to be alone. We aren't. We are to be hooked up in the body of Christ. In 2021, I want to turn up the heat about church attendance. And y'all help me. And it's a subject, as a pastor and as a former church attendee, you know, I know what it's like to be browbeat. Can we be honest? And I have avoided that. I don't want people to come because they have to. I don't want people to give because we've twisted their arms. Amen. We want to walk by faith, by acting on the word of God. So my job to produce better church attendance in all of us is to preach it and to talk about the benefits and what it means. That this right here, what's going on right here, is Jesus and how you fit in and interact with other people and where they're at. There's people in the body of Christ that are new converts that are just loony, just out there, but they're family. And we have to bring structure. You hold a baby. The baby does stuff that they shouldn't. We have to change their diapers, you know what I mean? But you don't get mad at the baby. You let them grow. And that's a whole other subject. We teach on that on a regular basis. And if you come, you get this diet from this pulpit of regular subjects of faith, the gifts of the Spirit, the offices in the Spirit, in the body of Christ, and also the motivational gifts. Marilyn Hickey kind of coined that phrase, but it's I believe it's Romans 12, and it helps understand. God gave me I'll just say, it's like God said, "Here's my son, make this tool here." But I just made a simple biblical thing of the list of the motivational gifts from Romans 12. And a couple of columns, one for you to check off and rate yourself 1 to 10 on all those gifts, and give it to a loved one in your life, a friend, somebody who will be unbiased. And you look, first of all, see if, man, I'm way off. I think this of me, but I evidently appear this way. And it helps you look and see how you feel and how you're being impacted, how you're impacting folks around you that love you and care about you. And then, but it also goes, hey, I'm different. I'm wired different than other people. Some people are more wired like me, others aren't. But we're in this for the long haul to understand and let people grow. Amen? And there's people in the body of Christ who've been Christians for a long time and kind of got used to their comfort zone. And they might not ever really come out of that to the zealous level that I would do. But we know what we're going to do at Family of Church. We already do. It's not judge them. Judge fruit. Love folk, let them come. The first, you know, Kathy mentioned about the growers class. The reason we don't have a goers class. You know, we're goers, growers, and doers here at Family Life Church, right? If you're going here and you're sporadic and or whatever, or you're just seeking, no one's judging you. You're part of the family. You can tell folks, I go to Family Life Church. Yes. There are people that haven't been in church in over a year, maybe longer, that say they go here, and I say, yes, you do. Maybe I shouldn't do that or not, but the thing is, folks, you're welcome. Amen. I'm glad somebody didn't jump down my throat when I missed, you know. Amen. But when you're going, that's what you're doing. You're going, and that's a cool thing. I like the seats to be filled. I do, because you're hanging around the Word of God and God's people. It stirs you up. Amen? And then the air conditioner just kicked in, didn't it? I felt it up here, and I saw everybody start putting on coats and stuff. But growers are folks that say, you know, I want to be publicly acknowledge, you know, that I'm part of a bigger thing than me that's organic, you know, the people. And I want to commit to that level of the love walk, where I want to come when the doors are open best I can. Sometimes things happen, man. Amen. And you become a grower, and that's what the growers class is. It starts learning about who we are as an organization, who Kathy and I are, where we're headed, how we're set up, what we'd like to have set up. And we've been in a number of years now. of kind of having church the best we can and loving folk and periodically doing activities and, you know, having an outreach in the park or something like that. But as far as like Sunday school, youth ministry, children's ministry and all that, it's just as the need comes up. And I know we want to be proactive and become a much more soul-winning church, and us getting in positions and growing like that. And so hold my feet to the fire. See, as I tell people like Pat and Art that, I'm in trouble now. Yeah. These guys will hold my feet to the fire. That's a good thing, though. It is, really? Amen? So, amen. Become growers in Christ. Amen. And we'll go on from there. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. God's so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for what you've been saying here. I believe I've been yielding. And Lord, I thank you for all of us having ears to hear what you're saying to us, Lord, individually and corporately. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We just declare by faith over each one of us. I do as a pastor and teacher here, Father. But we do for each one of us, praying one for another. We speak blessings to 2021. Your blessing on the houses that's represented here, and folks that attend here or even say they do, Lord, they're underneath this covering. Father, thank you for us to become just more in your shape to fill you all in all. And the knowledge of your love and the knowledge of your words towards us, Father. Thank you for this year for increase in our spirituality and our growth in you, and increase in our fruit, Lord, into this community and the world around us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for needs right now in this room. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to people, spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus, we receive the blessing of the Lord in our bodies. We acknowledge that, Jesus, you bore those stripes on your back so that we could be healed and that the world around us could be healed through us. We receive the anointing of Jehovah Rapha in our lives to us to quicken our flesh and every system in our bodies, every nerve, yes, every blood vessel, every heart, every organ, hallelujah, every bone. Thank you, Lord, for activating every system in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for giving light to us about our diet and what to do. And everybody's different. Lord, just thank you. Thank you for the grace and for us to hear and to do what you instruct us to do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for blessing. Thank you for pouring out your spirit upon all flesh, and that includes us and through us. We receive right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God's so good. Amen. Amen. Well, let's, as I say, go.